Good morning. Good to see everyone. Well, welcome everyone to Church of Christ here in New Lex. Well, welcome our visitors. Good to have you with us. If you will, we'll be singing 643, Victory in Jesus. And it's 643 in your song book. After this song, we'll stand for opening prayer.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. I then obeyed his blessed commands and gained the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Just please stand for opening prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come together today thanking you for this beautiful Sunday morning to come together to worship you and sing songs of praise to you. God, we ask you to be with those in our prayer list, continue to provide them comfort during their challenging times. And God, we thank you for the time that Brother Jim has put into the lesson here today. Please help us to come with open minds and hearts that we're able to take from our lesson here today, the lesson from your word, apply to our lives, and continue to grow as Christians. God, we ask you to be with us the rest of our service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Number 4. We praise thee, O God.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love. For Jesus who died and is now on above. Hallelujah, thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thy glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who hath shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thy glory.
Jim will be speaking to us this morning. Jim?
Good to have everyone out. It's been a beautiful weekend, and especially today, that's our government, I think, has set this aside as Mother's Day. So I'm going to be thankful for all the mothers we have here today. And that's what the lesson is on. Recently, if you have the internet and you listen to those things, we did a short podcast on mothers, and I'm going to use that as the background this morning of what I'll be talking about. In Proverbs 31, and most of you that have been here for a few years, you've heard several sermons on that, but I would like to use that today. It's a very good writing, has a lot of wisdom in it, and it's not just for mothers. It mentions that, but it's really for anyone, a Christian. And we can go to the other gender, males. All these things that are mentioned in that are things that are positive things as the wisdom that we know that's in Proverbs. I want to give you a little background on this. This is commentary, so it's not exactly from the Bible, but Proverbs 31 actually was written by King Lemuel, if I'm pronouncing his name right, and these were things that his mother taught him that he should be aware of. In the chapter, it says that he should stay away from strong drink. That was one of the advice. And then another thing, be careful with the women that you're around, what type of woman you're around. That's the first 10 verses very quickly there. Now, I'd like to start out with verse 10. That's the one that's usually used, clear through verse 30, about 20 verses there, about what the attributes of a good wife would be. Now, some think that King Lemuel is actually Solomon. And if that would be true, and again, they're speculating, they're guessing about what's written in there, and I can see why they did that from the things that's written. But if that is the case, then his mother would have been Bathsheba, and you know what she went through with Uriah, her first husband, and then David, her second husband, and what David did to get rid of Uriah and all that background on that, and them losing his son earlier. So a lot of background in this. But these are words of wisdom for all of us. And I want to remind you of that. Even though it's talking about a woman here, this would be just as much for the man. We are having some things that we're trying to change here. And I will say what I'm going to try to do in the future on that is getting the font up as big enough that you can see it. And with a black background, that's best for people who do have vision problems. So if anyone has a vision problem, I want the font where you can see that, and we'll try to get it in black background as much as we can. And we're having trouble with that right now with this. So I'm going to go to the first verse here. It's Proverbs 31, verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far more than jewels. And I think a couple years ago I spoke on Mother's Day, and I looked that up at that time. Back at that time, the price for someone that would work and do the work of a mother in a household, and that would probably only be a 40-hour week for them. And you know, mothers work way past that. But it would be around the average back then was $26,500, what it would cost. So, and I know it's way more than that. And you, as Proverbs talks about this too, you can't pay someone to do what a mother does in how they do it. So it is priceless. She is trustworthy. If you're looking for a mate, would you want someone trustworthy? Think about our president. I think that's a pretty high attribute that the president looks for that we have today. Trustworthy. Someone you can trust. And there's the scripture on that. This is verse 11 of chapter 31. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So If you notice, on your screen, you've got it up in a white background and black, but that is the exact scripture, so as you can follow along here with this. Hardworking, another attribute. And we know that mothers work from daylight to dark and sometimes through the night with many things. This is Proverbs 31, and it looks at several things. You have to remember this was written about 3,000 years ago, and they're looking at what is hard working. Well, it's quite different in some of the things, but it still takes the effort, and that's what they're talking about here, the effort that mothers go through. She seeks wool and flax, okay, so the very best products, and willingly works with her hands. So she's using the wool and the flax to clothe her family. And then it says she is like the merchant ships. And then it explains that. She brings her food from far. She does what she can to make sure that the family's fed well. She also rises while it is yet night, talking about the long hours and the amount of effort that goes into that, provides food for her household and a portion of her maidservants. Now, back at that time, if the person, like a king or a prince, would have a lot of servants working for them. So it's mentioned she even takes care of the servants very well. So that's important as well. I was thinking on that, what we look forward to today is our servants are really electricity in our household. If the electric's off, you think about what doesn't work. If you have a dishwasher, it doesn't work. The washer and dryer doesn't work. And I know sometimes you got the dishwasher going, the washer and dryer's going, and all those things going at once in housework. Okay, the rest of this, it goes through 16 through 19. Now, still talking about hard work. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. So she gets into business ventures and makes a profit for the family with that. She does things to help the family as well, and this being financially. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. So she's someone that's hardworking. And again, I think this kind of takes care of our bodies being temples and taking care of our bodies so we can do the work. And she's trying to stay healthy, make good decisions in that. She perceives that her merchandise is good. In other words, everything she produces, she wants it to be good. And her lamp does not go out by night. To me, that means work at night. And it also would mean that she plans ahead. The lamp doesn't go out, and she works clear into the night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff. Now, I have no idea what this distaff is. That up. A distaff is a piece of a wooden type of instrument. When you're spinning, it keeps the fibers from getting together. If there's anyone in here that's ever researched that a lot, it has to do with keeping the fibers from getting all mangled together. So she's doing two things at once. She's got something, she's got a hold of this spinning wheel with this hand over here with the distaff trying to keep the yarn from getting all tangled. So doing several things at once, and we see mothers doing that all the time. Hardworking, the attribute of hardworking. All right, let's look at the next attribute would be generosity. This is something that the queen told the son, that look for a woman that's generous, has generosity. And for the scripture on that, that's verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Proverbs 31 and verse 20. You think what this is saying and thinking about if you've been here on Wednesday night studying James. James talks a good bit about the poor and about treating the poor correctly. And we have a responsibility to help when we can. And that verse especially says, especially a household of faith, our brothers and sisters in Christ. So that is a excellent attribute for any Christian, that they extend their hand to the poor and reach out when they see things that they can help people with in whatever their need would be. The next attribute is concern for her family. And I know how mothers watch over that, concern for each family member, and that they're getting what they need. She is not afraid of snow. This is verse 21. She's not afraid of snow for her household. Well, that's meaning she's ready for the winter. She's got her family ready. They're clothed. Notice the next verse there. For all her household is clothed with scarlet. And that scarlet was put there for a special reason. That's one of the best and the most expensive collars they had at that time. So she's trying to dress her family as best she can. She makes tapestries for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Again, the very best. We have to see that purple and mention in this tapestry, the very best for her family. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. He has a good reputation because of the things she does. So that's important. She makes linen garments and sells them, again, financially helping the family out. Supplies sashes for the merchants. Another word we don't use too much today, sashes, but if you think back at this time, most of the clothing was wrapped around them. So they covered with garments like that. These sashes would be larger pieces of cloth. Optimistic, the next attribute. I think that's a wonderful attribute, to keep an optimistic outlook on life. And that's kind of catching. If you're around somebody that's optimistic, it rubs off on you. And we have that. If we're always complaining about things, and just notice the bad things and don't notice the good things that are happening around us, not being thankful for all the blessings we have, this attribute would be something you want in everyone, again, not just a wife or a mother. Proverbs 31 and 25 now. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Now, this, I think, to me, that refers back to some of the things in the New Testament. You realize this would be part of the Old Testament, Proverbs, in a time when they followed the Old Testament. But notice how it says that strength and honor are her clothing, something you put on. And we realize that in the New Testament, it talks about putting on Christ, being clothed in Christ. In other words, you're following his teachings to the point that they cover you. The problem is with that, sometimes we want to take off those clothes, we go different places or do different things, and we're supposed to be, as Christians, clothed in Christ all the time. But this strength and honor that she's clothed in, they rejoice over. She shall rejoice in time to come because of the honor. What's honor mean? The things she does, it's honest. She treats people well. Next attribute, kind. You think about how that is today. Where's kindness and politeness went? There's less and less of that, it seems like, in our society. People don't have much patience, even out if you go out in traffic and things. So many times it would just take a little bit of patience and kindness, and we don't see that. Proverbs 31 and verse 26, it reads, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness." I refer back to James again here that we're studying right now. It's fresh in my mind, talking about the mouth. If you read chapter 3 of James, he specifically talks about the tongue. No man can tame the tongue, he says. And that's true, I believe. But we can learn to control it. And again, this is talking about a wife and mother, but it covers everyone. We know we should do that. Now, in James, it tells us we learn knowledge. You have to put some effort forth to learn things, to learn the Word of God, to know God. It takes effort to put forth in that, to study to do that. But we ask God for the wisdom according to what James teaches here, that within our prayers. We pray for that wisdom to use the knowledge we have to control the tongue. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. And I just think about that tongue is controlled by kindness. Before she speaks, she thinks, and she's going to try to do it in a kind way as much as possible. Another great attribute, and something that, again, that would rub off in a family. A mother that's teaching that, and above all, doing it. Not lazy. I think that's self-explanatory, but listen to this verse, 31 and verse 27. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. We can see where that leads to, especially in long range over a long time period. If you're idle and letting things go, you know what is going to happen to that household. And this would be the opposite of what was the other attribute, hard work, hard worker. So she's not idle in things, always busy doing something. If you have all those attributes that we've talked about so far, it's going to bring praise, especially from your family, worthy of praise. And that's something we think about today on Mother's Day. We're going to be thankful every day, not just one day a year, that for those things that our mothers do for us, for what our wives do for us, and the importance of women. Proverbs 31 and verse 28 through 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. So the family notices this, and they're willing to give thanks to that and praise her in the work she does, as well as her husband. Hopefully the husband realizes that and is grateful and thankful. Many daughters have done well, so there's many that do this. But notice about the one that is being spoken of here in Proverbs, but you excel them all. So she tries to do above and beyond, go the extra mile in the things that she does. A phrase that came out a few years ago, maybe many years ago with my thinking, was that supermom. So that's kind of what they're thinking about here. That's something you have to remember here. These 10 attributes I think that are here, they're ideal, and we got to realize we're human. Some of us will have those strengths and develop them naturally. Other things we have to work on. We all have our weaknesses, so keep that in mind. But it's the attitude we have. Are we willing to work on things to try to reach these goals and use these attributes? One who fears the Lord. That's one I thought, well, I think I would have put that very first thing on there. But it's there, and that would go with each Christian. Aren't we all to fear and respect the Lord? Ernie, in the podcast we did on that, talked about respect. And a woman, a wife, a mother deserves respect by the things we say and our attitude and what we do. So that's important. And to have a person that fears the Lord is so important in the marriage. Both people do that. Otherwise, that's going to cause strife between things. Proverbs 31 and verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So important here. And this is the first time that beauty and physical attraction kind of come up in this scripture. Notice that charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. Sometimes flattery and things can be said and not really meant. Now, I think that's what it's saying here. Charm is deceitful. The person that's doing it sometimes can be deceitful. That. So you can't count on being charming as being true necessarily, unless you're around the person and see how they really, their attitude and how they act. Beauty is passing. I think some things here that's probably funny on that, but if you're looking for a mate, and probably best to look at, well, what are they going to look like when they're 60? If you only use physical attraction for the marriage, that's the only thing. You're both in love with each other, physically attracted to each other, and you don't have some of these attributes, then it's not going to work. A marriage only works with genuine love, very deep love. I had that on, so I know about when that time is. So we want to make sure that genuine love is there, and love for God even makes that stronger. So it's so important to have that. That is the things that are mentioned in the scripture there in chapter 31. By the way, that's the last chapter of Proverbs. Now, I went through and picked out also other positive things that are said about a good wife. Now, these things will come from different chapters in the book. There's about five or six things. Also, I'll mention at this time, there is about five or six verses in there that have negative things. They talk about a bad wife or a woman that's doing things she shouldn't be doing. And I'm not going to speak on those today. It makes it, it runs over the time that I wanted to allot for this. So we're going to look now at positive things for a good wife in the rest of the Proverbs. A blessing brings rejoicing. In other words, the things that are done that are so well brings a rejoicing there. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Now, back at this time, a fountain was so important. We know this, the many times reading in the scripture, they were going to the well or they were getting water. You know, we go to the faucet, turn it on. I think the last night of our meeting, the water was going to be, there was a water break, and Ernie was telling me there's a water break out, the water's off. You think about in your household, if they come knock on the door and say, well, your water's going to be off for 3 days. How important water is to a family in the things that they try to do. And the human body is made up mostly of water, so water's so important. And rejoice with the wife of your youth. That's the second part of that. So the fountain is something like a blessing, I think they're showing. So a wife that you're married to over a lifetime, rejoice in having that. See, look at the next verse here. This is Proverbs 5:18. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife. There was something else I wanted to say on that, and I put that in there twice so I wouldn't miss this. This brings me something about your wife of youth. You've been married for 50, 60, 70 years, and you think about all those years and what you went through together, the many things that you've had to face. That deserves respect, and I was glad that Ernie brought that out in the podcast. So we need to respect our wives, respect our mothers, respect God, and respect one another. That is so important. I was going to bring something up, something that I've heard men say. I've never heard a woman say this on this, and I am going to say it. This is my opinion on that, and it always bothered me, so I'm going to bring it out. I've heard men that have been married for a long time, they'll say, well, she's getting wrinkles, her hair's turning gray, she's put on a few pounds. I think I'm going to trade her in for 220s, and comments like that. Now, that may be funny to them right at the time, but you have to think, how much respect did you show your wife there if you're saying that out in mixed company? And how did she feel about it? I would suggest that we should ask our wives that privately someplace else. Does that type of thing hurt your feelings? Because I've heard men say, oh, she likes the attention. Well, I think it's a good idea to check. That would just be a respectful and kind thing to do. Again, I'm getting into my opinion on that. But that verse, the second part of it, brought that to mind, and I wanted to express my feelings on that. We need to give each other respect all those years that you've been together and not be doing things like that. And I think that's what's mentioned here in Proverbs, the kindness. Your tongue is clothed with kindness, covered with kindness. Next is husbands found a good thing. This is a verse that says that. A husband that finds a good thing has favor from the Lord. We'll look at that now. Proverbs 18 and 22 is where this comes from. Proverbs 18, 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So that would be a wife that has these attributes that you're talking about here. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, a prudent is a word that we don't use too much. I remember President Bush used to use that a lot. It was in a lot of his speeches. Prudent means somebody that cares about what they're doing, does the best they can, and some also added with that, who plans ahead in the things that they do. And with that, their caring attitude, they're thinking about what they're caring about. The family that's going to be blessed by the things that they do. So a prudent wife is from the Lord. That's Proverbs 19 and verse 14. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers. So that's worldly things. You may gain an inheritance, maybe get some money from somebody, or they left you land or something like that. But the real blessing is a prudent wife, because it's from the Lord. And it is worth more than any earthly, physical thing that you're going to inherit. She is the crown of her husband. And notice where you wear a crown. Everyone's going to see it. That comes from Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. This is one of them I told you about where they put the negative on that. So the positive is she is a crown to her husband. The negative thing that causes, and I've never heard that expression before, like rottenness in his bones. I think of that today, we would say bone cancer probably. She is constructive in the home, not destructive, constructive. And this verse has the same thing. It has the positive and the negative that we're looking at. This is from Proverbs 14 and verse 1. A wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. In other words, the things that she does, the things that comes off of her lips, the words she speaks, they're building up. So it's not just physical things like building on a house. It's all of building an environment as a homemaker. That's something I've heard probably through parent-teacher conferences. I'd have a mother come in and she'd say, well, I'm just a homemaker. That is one of the most important jobs in the world. You've got your hands, the things that's coming into the home, the things you're saying, you're raising the future. And we have to think that way in the church. If we have a home where both the father and the mother seek to have these attributes, what's life going to be like for the children? How are they going to turn out most of the time? At least you've done the very best you could for them. And I've thought about, we want, in the future, we want elders for the church. We want people living the way that God wants us to live. That comes out of a good home, and the mother is the center of all that. And we see in our society, which the family started falling apart a couple generations ago, and we see that where mothers are the ones, usually, if there's only one parent in the home caring about it, it ends up being the mother. And that wasn't God's plan. It was one male, one female, and a family that loves God and respects God and obeys God. Well, here we have the 10 different attributes of the ideal wife. Like I said, these are an ideal. And we want to try to gain these attributes the best that we can. They will improve our life, and we'll have God's approval from it. So I was hoping that I would finish in time to give you a little bit of extra time. Usually I talk over what I should be talking. So that is my lesson today. And we haven't talked much about the gospel. And if there is someone here that understands what to do to become a child of God, and this is the day that you would want to do that, we'd be willing to help you having you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to take the time to go through that part of it today, but we also want to realize that the invitation of Christ is open all the time, and we would be willing at any time to set up a study with you if you don't understand what the gospel of Christ is. Or at this time, it's also a good time if you'd like for us to pray for you for some certain reason that you're facing something, your health or whatever. We'd be most glad to do that. So if you will, at this time, please stand, and we'll have Tom lead us in song.
There's a fountain free.
There's a fountain free. It's for you. Will you come?
I want to thank Jim for a fine lesson and thank for his work. Now as we prepare our mind to take the Lord's Supper. It's 698, I love you, Lord. This is only one verse. We'll sing it through twice.
I love you, Lord.
Upon the first day of the week, we're to come together, worship God, to remember what He has given us, what He has done for us, that He has given us His only begotten Son. His Son came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. And the church, or the world at that time was rather harsh. They didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. They didn't want to believe what He showed them that was right and what to do that was right. But He died a death for us that we wouldn't have to pay that horrible cost that He paid. We need to remember what Jesus did for us. And we are to do that upon each and every first day of the week. The bread represents His body that was taken on the cross. Fruit of vine represents His blood. Don't know what to say to inspire us to think about this and to put it deep in our hearts. Because Jesus did this willingly. It was not a pleasant thing for Him to do, but He did it willingly for each and every one of us. Try to be mindful of that as we take of these emblems. Let us give thanks for the bread. Dear Lord, we humbly come before You. We thank for this day and all the blessings of life that You give to us. Bless this bread that represents Your Son's body. Help us to be mindful of His sacrifice and His love for us. We thank You for Your Son. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. In like manner, let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we ask You to bless this fruit of honor represents Your Son's precious blood that was shed on the cross for us. Help us to always keep His sacrifice deep in our hearts. Please forgive us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Also, upon the first day of the week, we are part of our worship is to give back to God what He's portion of what He has so richly bestowed upon us. Out there today we have a beautiful, beautiful sunlit day. And so many blessings. We can't outgive God, but He is the great giver. Let us give thanks. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your Son. For all the blessings of life that You so richly bestow upon us, we ask You to bless each and every one of us. Help us be cheerful givers as we give back to Thee. You have given us so much, and we are so thankful. Let us always be mindful of what You do for us. And again, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mr. Tom has announcements.
You will get a bulletin. There's a lot in there. I want to thank everyone. It's good to see everyone. Good to have our mothers with us. I want you to know you're honored this morning. And we're richly blessed by good mothers. If you've got one, you're very lucky. And if one has not, we were blessed in years past. Please get a bulletin. As I say, there's a lot in there. I won't read everything, but there's some graduates this year. Paige Lanning will be graduating. Madison Hunter, Abby Denny, Amber Brockway, Emily Huffman, Skylar Ward. And the church is going to give Bibles out to all the graduates who we know of. If you have any others, you have to tell the elders. Or also, got this from Emily Huffman, Riverside River High School, May 24th at 2 p.m. be graduating. That's Ernie and Brenda's granddaughter. That's Emily Huffman. Also, have Sue and Holly give me youth group. There's youth group and young class, two of them, I guess. And they'll be giving out things, so I'm pronouncing that, and I'll let them take care of that. Betty on is sick this morning. Remember Betty in your prayers. Bibles for graduates. The Bibles for our high school graduates will be ready next Sunday, May 18th. So they're going to be ready in here. They will be sitting out in the foyer in gift bags. After morning services next Sunday, there will be a very brief service for presenting Bibles to the high school graduates. It would be a great opportunity to invite graduates to church next Sunday so that they can personally receive their engraved Bible. They're good Bibles, nice Bibles. And I don't think you can get a better gift than the Word of God. Last Lord's Day on our meeting, we had two young people wants to have their membership here at New Lex Church. They did go to Lancaster Church of Christ. And I might get this wrong, Reese and David Richardson, something like that. Good to have them. They're here. Please greet them this morning. And we need more members, and we want them, invite them. We want them to come and work with us. And we need people here every time the doors open. And they live at 305 Fowler Street, apartment 5C, I believe it is. So good to have them with us. Last week we had a gospel meeting I think was very good. With Tony and his wife was here, Tricky. And we had several who'd like to have Tony here for good. And we talked to him about it, and he said you have to think about it. So he didn't say no, but keep that in your prayers. And something he'd have to think about. Of course, we understand that. But pray about it, and when he retires from where he's at, who knows, maybe he'll come here for a while. Work part-time anyway. That'd be a good thing. We need him. Does anyone have anything else? I know I'll be missing something, so bring it to my attention. Sure is good to see everyone this morning, our visitors. I know I forget something. Anyway, we'll let Sue take over with the young class and then go from there. Appreciate our young people.
Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies out there here. The youth group has made gifts for the ladies. They are lined up in the hallway.
Have everyone to stand at this time when we'll do the closing prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for letting us be able to come here this morning and hear a lesson from your word and be able to sing hymns unto you. Be with all the sick and the shut-ins, and especially the ones that's going to have procedures and surgeries coming up. Be with them during that time. Be the ones that's possibly traveling and away from us, back to us safely. Also be with all the mothers today that are here and that we appreciate and what they've done for us through our lives. Be with them today. Be with us now as we go to our separate homes until the next appointed time. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.